you. Amen. Joseph is going to come now and preach the word to us, but before that, will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? You may even have your Bibles with you this morning. We're reading from Hebrews chapter 10. So turn there if you can. And maybe you're in your living room right now. You can go grab your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's presuming I can find it. It's after all the T's. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of this word. Let it take root in our hearts and bear fruit. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you online, I just want to give you a quick tour of the people who are here so you don't feel like it's just the pastors pretending to speak to people, and then Joseph's going to speak.
Okay. Well, hello. Oh, man, it feels good to be back together, and it doesn't mean it hasn't been challenging. We've had about 20 major or minor things go wrong this morning between the family service and this one, but that's okay. We're getting back in the groove. We're getting used to it. Thanks especially for the patience of those watching online as we were working on that a little bit too. But we're kind of closing out here this morning this season of online church, of not meeting together for over 100 days, a really never-before-seen moment in the church to do that. So to kind of reflect on the last 100 days and celebrate not coming to you via video, except for you, we want to show you some of the lessons we've learned over the past 100 days of online church, just so that you can see how perfect and how easy and how seamless it was for our pastors to do this. So go ahead and take a look.
The service ahead is a wonderful start again.
Mission. So here comes a runner across the bridge. So I better hurry up and say great to have you with us and hope you have a great morning.
Sunday, we are getting to getting ready to regather.
I'm glad to see that I can't see anybody. I just don't want to like look at my notes for this part, but okay.
The fourth announcement is that I'm going to have to pull out this, man.
Appreciate that you're worshiping with us on Sunday mornings. Yada, 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 yada. Sorry about my hair. Please excuse me. I'm going to get a haircut sometime this month when everything opens up again.
How does the table... Ah, shoot. I'm going to start again. I just wrecked it. Sorry.
Good morning, Oceanside family. I'm going to start over. I'm sorry. I hope that you are all well at home, that you're finding ways to stay active and sane and active and busy. Yeah, this. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm just going to... Okay.
Okay, I did not like that, so I'm going to do it again.
Remember to be patient to the Lord. Pardon, no, I'm sorry. It just says obedient. I said the wrong word.
In our hearts, we want to practice this. Oh, I'm just messing this up. Sorry. I'm not really this bad. And I was so good, but I really messed that up. And then I'm like, that's doctrinally not what I want to say. Oh, Lydia.
Our Savior, be glory, majesty, power.
On our website, we will have on the opening page, the click on the click for the... the click for the bulletin, the click for the bulletin.
I'm sorry.
Cut.
It's like a ransom video.
Oh, man. Glad those days are over, at least for now, hopefully forever. So this is much preferred to speak to you in this way. So I want to reflect this morning as a part of our Pandemic Perspectives series on what we might have learned the past 100 days, not about making videos, but what lessons we can take with us about gathering together for corporate worship after coming out of its absence. And so my title this morning is COVID and Church, Reflections on Worship in a Pandemic. So through this text in Hebrews 10:25, I want to talk about how church in light of COVID tests our perseverance, our priorities, and our preparation. So I have this little, you know, for those on the live stream, it's going to be backwards, this little sign here, very high tech there, but you can probably see it on the screen as well. But let's start with perseverance, that it says here, not giving up meeting together. And I believe these are, you know, timely and maybe even prophetic words for today's church. For, you know, once we get out of the habit of something, it's hard to reestablish a pattern of behavior. So, you know, listen, I believe that we and other churches did the right thing by not meeting together for the last 100 days, by voluntarily forsaking that privilege. But we were not made to worship online alone in our living room for good. And a large portion of the Bible really can't be followed and carried out in that model. And in fact, the Bible itself was not written for the instructions of individuals. It was written to communities that were being formed and called into being. Therefore, you know, if we're not reading, interpreting, and practicing the scripture together in community, well, we can't really follow the scriptures. So Hebrews 10:25 tells us that meeting together is really not optional for any serious Christian. And if we're serious about our faith, we'll be serious about persevering in meeting together, figuring this out, even in the midst of a pandemic, even as we have to creatively think about how to do it and follow protocols and some inconveniences. We must, as a church, persevere in gathering together, for the church has done that for 2,000 years through the ups and downs of history. And whether or not we persevere in meeting together really reveals, point two, our priorities. So it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And so this is a problem that has existed for 2,000 years in the church, that there were already people 2,000 years ago prioritizing other things above corporate worship together. And maybe they were thinking, well, you know, I can just worship God in the comfort of my own home. Or maybe they thought, you know, well, my relationship with Jesus, it's just a personal thing. It's between me and God. Or maybe it was just inconvenient for them for some reason, or they just didn't want to be challenged by the gospel or the lordship of Jesus over their lives. But whatever the case, the biblical writer here says, I know some are doing this and giving the reasons, but I'm telling you, don't give up meeting together. We must persevere and make this a priority. So listen, I mean, I'll be honest. I hated online church. It was very difficult for our family. It was often felt really depressing to us. We tried to make the best of it, but we really struggled with it because I knew that my soul needed more than that could offer. And more than that, my heart was just breaking for all the other souls out there that I knew needed the encouragement of gathering together. And I honestly was and am really concerned about the implications of people getting used to sort of an individual model of church, of gathering together. Because there are serious consequences when we start to think about our Christian life and worship as a private matter, as an individual pursuit confined to personal spaces. So, you know, although we're continuing online, streaming right now, that's really for those who can't gather together for very justifiable reasons, or maybe have just never been to church before and might stumble upon this online, or if, of course, we're full, as we are this morning at maximum capacity. But it's not designed as our main worship service or way of gathering together anymore. So we should be careful of the, you know, appealing yet deceiving, even if well-meaning, theologies out there that teach that church doesn't need to gather to be the church. Because the problem with that is it slowly leads to the assumption that Christianity is a private matter, something to be done in the privacy of our homes, but doesn't need a public gathering space because it has no impact or relevance to public life. In his article in Time magazine called Should Churches Reopen, world-known theologian N.T. Wright, he says this. He says, churches have been for centuries physical and often audible reminders on main streets and in town squares, on city blocks and in suburban developments of the vital dimension to life that Western modernity has tried to crowd out. And Wright's thesis is that the church might be in exile during this time as we gathered online, but the goal in the Bible is never to stay in exile. This is not meant to be the new way of doing church, as some have argued, gathering separately online in our homes. Because we don't want to communicate that Christianity is just a private pursuit that has no public expression. I mean, Christianity has never functioned that way, even if society or governments might prefer we keep to ourselves. But I mean, if stores and malls and gyms and other things start opening up and not the church, well, it can communicate that these things are important, but the church, well, that's not really a big deal to people. It's not really essential to society. That can wait until we're completely certain there's no risk at all, because that's just kind of a trivial small thing, a side hobby for people's lives, not really that important. So listen, yes, we can worship God anywhere and everywhere, absolutely. But there's something different, sacred, about gathering together in a space and time set aside for that purpose. And the Bible commands it. The word here for verse 25 is episunagogein, which is where we get the word synagogue, which just means to gather together, and then epi is in front, which is kind of the bringing together. So it just means gathering together in one place. That's what it says when it says, don't forsake this episunagogein, this gathering together in one place. The most common term for church in the Bible is ecclesia, and it's a combination of two words, ek, which means out of, and kaleo, which means to call. And so it means to call out of our normal routines and life and the other things we're doing together to be the ecclesia, the ones called out of one thing into another thing, into a sacred space and time. But listen, here's the main reason we gather together: to honor publicly what Jesus did for us publicly. We gather because what he did was so great that it warrants a weekly public celebration of his rising from the dead on Sunday morning. And that event is so great that for 2,000 years, people have said we need a whole day to celebrate it and recognize it. And that tradition has continued for thousands of years. And I don't want to be the generation responsible for weakening that tradition that we've held as a church for the last 2,000 years. We gather to remind each other what Jesus did for us, and therefore being reminded of the larger story that is unfolding around us and renewing our hope in Christ and our calling now in bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Gathering together shows the world that this event in person we celebrate, it really holds priority in our lives. It's good for people to see cars in the parking lot on a Sunday morning, and particularly a packed parking lot once we're allowed, so that people understand that, well, this is important to people's lives. It matters. It's more than just a private activity, that God is essential to our lives. And the reason for that is because I know as the church that we need this, because we need to gather together to prepare ourselves for the time that is coming. So last point, preparation, that we gather to encourage one another, and it says all the more as we see the day approaching. So I want to be growing in my Christian character, strengthening my devotion to Christ and his kingdom so that I can be ready for the day when he comes again. And in order to do that, I need to be told not always what I want to hear, but what I need to hear. But when we can, you know, customize our worship through online choice and create church or online experience that works for us, well, we can be in danger then of creating a God that works for us, that meets our own needs and preferences, and that would be, of course, idolatry. But church is not meant in the long run to be a product that gets delivered to you in your living room like Netflix or Disney Plus or something like that. Right? That model of church is not going to prepare us for the day of the Lord that is coming. It's not going to mature us, challenge us, bring our sin to the surface, and encourage us in the same way. So, I mean, I'm encouraged and become a better follower of Jesus by being together with you. When I get to see your faces, seeing how you respond to the spirits in our midst, hearing your testimonies as we heard earlier, it makes me a better follower of Jesus. Seeing your tears and joy and sorrow and celebration, as Ellie talked about in the video, anguish over sin, whatever it might be that happens in a corporate worship setting. And I'll be honest, I just didn't worship the same way when I was in my living room. Not because I'm a hypocrite and only worship passionately when other people are around me, at least I hope not, but because I'm weak and I need the encouragement of others to really worship like that and engage God in that way. And it was lacking for 3 months, and I could feel its effects on my life. Why do you think churches in countries where they're persecuted, where gathering is illegal, why do you think they still gather together and find a way to get together and risk their lives and their families to do so? Why not just keep their devotion to Jesus personal, individual, private? Because they know the power of gathering together, that something happens when we come together, that the principalities and powers and rulers of this age begin to shake when the church gets together. And the enemy would love nothing more than to keep us apart, treating Christianity and Christian worship as kind of an a la carte item that we can just add to our weekly playlist, or when we feel like it, or just kind of pull it up on our screen. And yes, we'll do what we need to do when we have to do that. But I hope if we've learned anything through all this, it's just how grateful we should be to be together like this. I know it's hard. I know it's different. I know it's not like it used to be. But aren't you just glad to be together? Like, I'm just glad to see you. I need to see you. It's so good to be together. So we don't need to look really any further for the confirmation of the importance of corporate gathering than the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, because he taught it to us to be said together. It's all in the plural with the idea that we would gather together and say this together, that this would be for the ecclesia, the called out ones together, for the episunagogein, the ones gathered together into one place. So would you stand with me, and then we're going to sing it too before we leave this morning, and let's say the Lord's Prayer together in one voice and in unison. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let's sing and ask God's kingdom to come, and then we'll close in a benediction.